Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because now I'm relying on my own, you know, kind of reflexes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know what the other thing is, too? You mentioned going to the gym and playing tennis. Aren't you always like, I'm not an envious person at all. I'm not one of these guys that gets jealous about what other people have or anything. I never have been. But the one thing where I do get jealous is when I'm walking into the J and that guy's leaving and he's already done with his workout. Like, that's there's no better feeling than walking out of the gym, right? Like, after you got your workout in, you feel great. But I always get envious when I walk in, seeing the other guys are like, all right, see you tomorrow. I'm like, oh, man, you're already done.
Yeah.
Isn't it great to be you?
Can
You've already
fast
finished.
Yeah. Can I just fast forward to the next phase here?
Just let me get fast forward to this next hour. You guys are all sitting around having coffee, talking about the events of the day. Like, I'm so jealous of that.
Jealous of my wife and daughter that they can eat anything that they possibly want to eat and don't gain nothing.
Yeah, no, I look at a cupcake and gain 10 pounds. And now I'm getting served banana pudding ads from Magnolia Bakery in New York City because I mentioned banana pudding one time, and now I'm getting ads every day for it. I want banana pudding.
Putting socks on is an accomplishment. It's true.
True.
There's days my back, I feel like I'm hopping to put that one sock on.
I have to brace myself on the bed. Carry the other leg over. Yeah.
How many times have you fallen because you stuck your leg through your underwear and you fell down to the ground because you missed the hole?
Yeah. You have to decide which leg bends the best.
Yes.
Because I swear, you know, they say you put your pants on the one leg at a time.
Yeah.
And it used to be the left.
Yeah.
Now I have to go to the right because I think the
I'm trying
one,
to think of
that
what
one doesn't
I do.
Bend as well anymore, so I have to I go the other direction just because I'm like I don't think I'll
Hang
fall
on a
over
second.
That way.
Let me take my pants off and try. No, we're not doing that today.
I'm an elementary administrator. I sit down in those kindergarten chairs and just pray I can get back up.
That's the one thing now that the kids my daughter leaves elementary school at the end of this week and I have two middle schoolers. But that's the one thing about elementary school that I won't miss going to conferences or back to school nights. Here's a chair. For who?
Yeah, I can't get out of that.
A two-year-old? I can't sit in that thing.
That hurts.
And you sit there and you're like listening to the teacher and you're like uncomfortable and all that kind of stuff. They need adult chairs for that kind of stuff.
Keep coming. What did you feel? Seems like we've got plenty of reasonings. When I started using the seat warmer in my car as a heating pad.
I do the same thing. 100% I'm with you. I've done that. I'm like, all right, my back hurts. Let me turn the car seat on.
Middle of summer, you're like running that heating. Seat heater.
Sometimes, because I'm a whack job, I'll turn the air on in the summer and roll down the windows and have the heat coming in, but the air, I don't mind that at all. Sometimes in the wintertime, I'll turn the heat on and open the windows too, just to get a kind of a breath of fresh air every once in a while. But that seat heating pad thing, 100%, man, I've been there. So funny.
I just wanted to let that one roll. I don't know.
This comes from our old friend Bob Dutton, former beat writer for the Royals and the Kansas City Star. Still doing freelance work.
Is he?
Moved out to Seattle.
Yeah, he did. Moved out to Seattle, started covering the Mariners. Yeah.
He says, still doing occasional freelance work, but he tweets this out. A good old player and manager, but an all-time great guy. Of all the people I met in ball, there's nobody I'd rather shut a bar down with. And he was remembering Jim Fregosi.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was funny because Bob Dutton's like the perfect base. He was the
perfect baseball guy. I had the exact same thought as you did.
He was the perfect baseball guy.
He'd hate it now, I think.
And he'd observe everything. He talked to everybody. He knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just it was just funny to see him say, this is a guy I'd shut a bar down with.
And probably did, right?
Probably did
back in the day. Probably did. You know, that's what the old baseball writers used to do. That's why, you know, getting into this business back when you did in the 40s was such a great thing, because you'd sit on the train with the guys. You probably had a couple of beers with Babe and Ted and all those guys, Yaz, back
champ,
in the
champ.
Day, right? And you'd sit there and have
Can
a couple of cocktails.
Can I spin on the train on the way to Boston?
Then you get to the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee while haunted and no power. You'd probably get a couple of cocktails at the bar and, you know, and enjoy the evening, you know, whiskey to close out the evening. That's what covering baseball was all about. Bob Dutton was a mold of that. Now, with social media the way that it is, and video games and Hulu and Dan Fogelberg, guys are going up to their rooms. They're not hanging out at the hotel bar like they used to. So Bob Dutton today would probably not have that same type of experience as he did, you know, back in the day with Jim Fregosi, and say there's no better person to shut a bar down with than Jim Fregosi.
I don't know that I would pick a person ahead of time to shut a bar down with, though.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No.
You know? Okay.
I think I would want the random one. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize this guy shut down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a weird. Jim Fregosi might be in that camp.
Have you ever had like a weird person that you did shut down a bar with?
No, I don't think so. But that would be one where you're like, I'm just going to stick around because Jim Fregosi is holding court here.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to leave, right?
You're like, yeah. I don't know what this is, but I'm finding it fascinating.
Yeah.
I would fall into that category.
I shut a bar down with Al Nipper once, the former Royals pitching coach. It was the Grand Falloon.
That's weird. That's
right?
A nice, random, weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go shut down a bar with Gronk or whatever.
You know
what I mean?
No, like, I don't want to do that.
I want a random encounter where you're like, it was just so bizarre you couldn't leave.
I've shut a bar down where the bartender passed out before. That was Cleveland. That's rightfully so. I get that. She was so drunk she couldn't tend bar anymore. She just turned it over to everybody else. You guys just pour what you want and leave a 20. Okay, here we go. Also had a screen door, so it was very entertaining. But
the screen door.
Screen
yeah.
door?
Remember,
old
screen
school
door.
Screen door bar. Yeah, like
that's
the bottom
bar.
Half was metal. The other half was screen,
oh, wow.
You know, on a hinge like Kramer. And the screen door, we're going in here. And Don't Stop Believing was playing, and the bartender was passing out, and we were serving drinks to everybody. It was a great night. We closed that thing down, too.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. It was like one of those nights. Always the good nights happen when you decide, I'm going home early tonight. And then something draws you in. Whether it be a screen door or Al Nipper or whoever
That's
it is
a good one.
From your hometown.
Al Nipper.
Like, you ever close out a bar with Al Nipper?
No.
Actually, I have. You know?
No. Why would I?
Yeah. You know, whoever it is, like something draws you in. Those end up usually being the best nights, the unexpected, I didn't plan for this, it just happened type of evening.
I did shut, this from the text line, I did shut down a bar with Gronk. He would come up for his brother's spring games in Manhattan every year. It's true. The problem with Gronk, I would think, is
everybody knows him.
Well, it ain't closed either. I would just assume I wouldn't want to shut down the bar with Gronk because I'm done and want to. I'm tired.
I see. And he's
not.
I'm
going home,
yeah.
And Gronk just keeps going. You would never. I don't think you'd ever close.
Now I got to know.
That would
did
be
he
my.
Buy?
That would be my interpretation of Gronk.
Did he buy for everybody?
Oh.
Did he buy for everybody? If he's buying for the whole
bar,
know.
He's
not leaving.
He's saved his money quite a bit.
He
so
really has.
He might not.
He's got some of that Dunkin' money left.
He might
though.
Not. What if I told you Sky Moore leads the Chiefs at receiving yards this season?
I'm great with that, man.
Would you buy it?
In yards? Yeah, I could see that potentially happening. Sure.
I
could see that happening. I think that the Chiefs do a really good job of utilizing their young players and not waiting for their young players to be utilized. They throw them into the fire right away. I mean, you go back and look over the years, man. Like, since Andy Reid has taken over, he has not shied away from getting young players involved. He's not shied away from rookies. He's not shied from using, you know, mid-round draft picks on his team. I mean, just look at last year. I mean, we're walking away from a season where Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, and you look at Bolton on the defensive side of the football, all three guys that were drafted last year became big time players and big time stars for this football team. And so if you were to say to me that Sky Moore is going to have more receiving yards than anybody else on this roster, I would say probably so, because he's so fast. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of yak. I'm sure there's going to be some deep balls. He's not the accomplished receiver MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster are, but I could see him having more yards. I could see him being that big play threat that the Chiefs utilize, and I would have no issue with it. I would absolutely love it, because this is what you need to do. And we were sitting around in our post-show meeting yesterday going through the Super Bowl roster. It's like 10 guys left from the Super Bowl. Think about that. We think the Super Bowl was just yesterday, right? There's about 10 guys left that were on that Super Bowl team. The Chiefs are still in AFC championship games every single year. The numbers of those guys who were on that first Super Bowl team are severely lower than it's ever been, but yet they still find themselves on top and they still find themselves competing for a Super Bowl. It's because they've done a great job with their young talent and turning over the talent. So if Sky Moore leads the team in receiving yards this year, I'll be fired up more so than you could ever imagine, because that means the next wave is here, baby.
Yeah, I'd be fired up. I don't know how feasible it is. I'd be very surprised if Sky Moore led the team. Demon receiving as a rookie.
Yeah.
I think there's enough others. Obviously, you still have Travis Kelce around, but I don't think there's going to be any secret. He's going to draw some attention early in the season, especially to find out what this
Kelce
Chiefs
is. Yeah.
Chiefs offense is made up, because I'm playing the everybody but Kelce can have a shot at you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then when everybody else starts beating you, then Travis starts to get some one-on-one, and then Travis takes off. Because you're right, because the beginning of the year, we're probably going to say, where's Kelce? Why aren't they getting him the ball? He's got 17 people on.
If I'm scheming defenses, I'm going to stop Kelce, and you guys figure out what it is you do. Yeah. I know this guy's good.
And that's what New England always does. They take out your best player, right?
But you got, MVS and Juju and Hardman, and I'd be surprised if Sky Moore led the team in receiving, and I wouldn't want to put that on him as a expectation either, because I think it feels a little bit out there. But if he did, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah,
because then you'd show, okay, you've turned it over, your quarterback makes people better, you found a perfect fit for your offense. But I'd be terribly, terribly surprised. But it came from ESPN. One of their analysts, Matt Miller, draft analyst Matt Miller, predicted Moore would lead the Chiefs in receiving yards during his rookie season. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I just wouldn't be banking on it.
A follow-up on Gronk, he 100% did buy for everyone, would order 69 fireball shots and then go to the next bar.
Of course.
When was the last time either of you closed the bar down, but at least 15? I don't know. The last
I said time. I love the fact that local breweries close at 10.
Oh, so you have closed down bars.
It's right in the wheelhouse.
I was home by 6 o'clock from Binkley's beer thing.
The local breweries close at 10 pretty much all over the place. It's awesome.
Yeah.
10. You're home. Done.
I'm trying to think the last time that I was told to leave. Maybe this weekend. Well, I don't know.
Probably so. The Royals made the move. Appease the masses, but what's really going on next?
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iwaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is this the cast of Glee?
Sometimes I'd like to change time.
Does that sound like David Bowie?
No, this is not Bowie.
No, this is the Shrek 2.
Ah, okay.
Shrek 2.
Shrek 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. I like Shrek 2. Accidentally in Love is a song from that soundtrack. Fire that up. I think that's what I say to my wife all the time. We're accidentally in love.
Wow. You're a gem.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Thank you. Why'd you just cut it off like that? I mean, my God. He's getting ready to belt the tune and you're done.
That was my bad.
Well, he readjusted. He had to get his back and his legs going and he accidentally turned it off.
My left knee started popping as I sat down in the chair. Yeah. And
braced my knee and my back. My neck and my back.
Right by the button. So that's what happened.
That was my bad.
Yesterday, the Royals make a change. They have let go hitting coach Terry Bradshaw, GM JJ Piccolo. On the timing.
You know, we felt confident at the end of the season last year that Terry, along with Keone Duran and John Mabry, could work together and make some adjustments we thought needed to be made. You know, the other part of this is, you know, I say this respectfully as well, players are accountable. Players are the ones playing the game. So whether it's the messaging, the understanding of the messaging, you know, who knows what didn't go right. But we felt like Terry was the right person to go into this year. And then the way April went, we started thinking a little bit harder. Do we need to make a change at this time?
All right. So they make the change. A lot of people wanted it.
Sure.
I think a lot of people were happy yesterday. Social media was very happy. There seemed to be a little bounce in the Royal step. Like, hey, they did something. Look, they made a move. At times, though, I say, okay, yeah, but.
Yeah, that's the way I was yesterday.
Was it one guy? Now, sometimes I'll say, hey, is it the messaging? It sounds like it might have been the messaging. Like, we have a plan. This was our plan. This was the guy that's in charge of delivering said plan. Plan ain't working.
But the man has been here for 5 years. How could it be the messaging at that
point in time?
Stale
message?
Right?
I don't know.
That's fair. Stale message is fine. And look, and I've advocated for weeks to fire Terry Bradshaw because you needed to do something to shake up.
It feels like there's a shakeup was needed.
Right?
This is there.
And that's what are you going to do? You can't fire the entire team. You can't send Salvi down to the minors and Witt down to the minors because they're not hitting either. And I appreciate what JJ says because respectfully, the players got to start playing better.
Which
too.
Is true.
And it is 100%
and
on them.
And sometimes you do need the, unfortunately, it costs one person their job. Right. I always do feel bad about
Does
that.
Does he get paid through the end of the year at
and
least?
And then the players had to realize you got this guy fired.
Right, exactly.
And you hope that works.
And you hope it works. You
right?
do.
Like, you were responsible for this guy going.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you
if
are.
If you were doing your job, he'd be fine. Mm-hmm. You lost him his job. Hopefully that resonates somehow, some way with some players anyway.
Right.
To each their own and how people are motivated. Some may say, well, great, he wasn't doing anything for me anyway. I don't know. But it does feel strange when you make that type of move because then you're just elevating someone else from the organization that's got the same message,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically they elevated the guy who's in charge of the plan.
Yeah, right.
And he's now the hitting coach. Like, okay, now put your plan. If there was a messaging problem, now put your plan in action. We'll see.
Yeah.
To me, it's not a magic button, but it is sometimes a button you do have to push, if nothing else, symbolically,
mm-hmm.
to do that for the outside. I question sometimes how much it affects the inside.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of where I am on this one. I mean, I look at the hitting coach and the pitching coach, and I'm like, okay, you guys are there for like moral support, especially at the big league level. Let's go play baseball, right? You know, let's not use hitting coaches and pitching coaches as scapegoats, but there are certain times where you just have to do that. And I thought this was the right time for the Royals to use Terry Bradshaw as the guy who has to kind of fall on the sword for everything that has gone wrong with this Royals organization. But remember, Terry Bradshaw was also the hitting coach last year when Salvador Perez hit 48 home runs. Terry Bradshaw was also the hitting coach last year, you know, when Nicky Lopez hit over 300. So those guys are still on the roster. It was Terry Bradshaw good last year and not good this year? Is Terry Bradshaw being looked at as the guy who couldn't unleash Jorge Soler maybe? And now all of a sudden, since he's gone, you know, they've found a way to unleash him down in Atlanta and everybody saw the postseason run. Did that have an effect on it? Maybe a little bit, you know, subconsciously it did. But at the end of the day, this guy's been the hitting coach for 5 years. And now all of a sudden, when guys aren't producing, somebody has to take the blame. And it's always going to be the offensive coordinator or the quarterback coach or the hitting coach. But when I got the news yesterday that this was going down and the hitting coach was being relieved of his duties, I thought, okay, and now what else is going to happen? Because It's a symbolic move. It's a move that needed to be made, but it is not a cure-all. It is not a fix. It is not all of a sudden now everything is great and you're going to go out there and mash, as we saw yesterday against Johnny Cueto, 9-up, 9-down for a gentleman who was pitching in the minor leagues 5 days ago.
I choose to believe that was Johnny Cueto who had a complete game two.
Okay, that's fine.
That was the same guy to me.
Same guy. He looked good last night, right?
Same guy to me.
Vintage Cueto.
He looked really good.
Still waiting for him to show up at Plowboys, but whatever.
Right. But is Carlos Santana still on the team? Is Ryan O'Hearn still on this team? I mean, are we still going to have guys with 170 batting averages, you know, playing every single day? Eventually, it does come down to personal accountability, and the guys have to look inside and say, okay, the hitting coach was fired. Now, maybe we need to change some things up a little bit, because if I'm a player on this team right now and I'm not Salvador Perez or Bobby Witt Jr., you're expendable, and I would be looking to trade a lot of the guys on this roster, Andrew Benintendi especially, because he's going to bring you back something good. But I hope the Royals, with this, you know, with this move for hitting coach, I was hoping maybe they would go outside the organization, and now, obviously, it's a one-day thing, and you know, maybe down the line they'll go outside the organization. But I would like to think maybe there's a new message out there that they could hear, because a lot of these guys have heard this message since the minor leagues, and if it's not working right now, maybe they need to change it up and have a completely different perspective on what's going on out there at Kauffman Stadium. And maybe I would look towards outside the organization to fill this hitting coach role moving forward.
Third down, 8 for Pittsburgh. From their 24. Bradshaw, quick hit, Stallworth.
Bradshaw, very cool, very confident. Put it right where you should put it.
So is he still going to be on Fox NFL Sunday?
See, all I could think of yesterday was, who are you still winning Terry's money or not?
Oh, that's a good question, too. Good question. There's a good headline on FARC, too, that also said, Josh, which I got a kick out of, maybe the next time the Royals won't hire a quarterback to be their hitting coach.
There's the history of crossover, though, as we've pointed out before, you know.
Yeah.
Football players being drafted by the Royals. And
sure.
Whenever they drafted
absolutely.
Them, they
yeah.
drafted better quarterbacks than the Chiefs over the years.
Absolutely have. Up until Patrick Mahomes, the Royals did a better job of drafting quarterbacks than the Chiefs.
It was like Elway and Marino.
That's what they had. They drafted Elway and Marino. Yeah, yeah. The Chiefs drafted Blackledge.
Yeah. So there is a history there.
Yeah.
But yes. Yes. No one's winning Terry's money. Or Terry needs to win now Terry's money.
Yeah, he needs
to. I suppose, in order to do that. We'll talk to Dayton Moore coming up at 8:30. Josh Vernier, a Royals insider, coming up at 8 o'clock. Much like old quarterbacks and musical acts, old wrestlers never stop either. We'll get to that coming up next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
Called touring or not touring.
That's
the answer
right.
was usually touring because it involved musical acts, because musical acts never go away. They just continue to tour. And if someone's going to pay to watch you, just keep doing it.
Right. And your venue may get smaller and smaller and less relevant. And you may end up playing like a casino in the middle of Topeka, or you may be doing the county fair.
Or a outdoor mall.
Outdoor mall.
Leawood or something.
Yeah, I think once you get to the outdoor mall in Leawood, that's kind of the low point. That's where you kind of look around and go, where else can we go from here? Well, we got a birthday party at Bob's from 2 to 4 if you're interested in that.
That's fine. Just keep playing. Somebody cut you a check. Keep playing. Quarterbacks, same thing. Backup quarterbacks especially.
Just keep
doing it. And apparently now wrestlers, Ric Flair is going to wrestle, quote unquote, one final time.
Thank goodness. We've needed this, right?
July 31st at the age of 73.
Mm-hmm.
He tweets out, the rumors are true. I'm going to walk that aisle, style and profile, one last time, July 31st, Nashville, Tennessee, Jim Crockett Promotions.
Where's he going to be, like the Shriners Club
I will
or
prove
something?
Once again that to be the man, you got to beat the man. Now we go to school. Woo!
How weak
You're
was
talking
that woo?
To the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
Woo! Woo! So apparently it's a small wrestling fan convention or something that is following the WWE event.
So it's
in town the day before.
It's the outdoor mall in Leawood.
I think so.
Yeah, it sure
is that pretty
like
much
it,
what
yeah.
it is?
Pretty
Dumb?
Much. Go wrestle in front of like 1,000 fans.
Yeah, that doesn't count, man. That's weak. That's like going and playing like, you know, like an independent league baseball game and claiming you're playing in that game when you're 115 years old. Like, somebody's got to tell Ric Flair, please don't get in this ring because I don't see anything good coming.
His last
from this,
match
right?
was 2011.
So that's 11 years ago, yeah. if I'm not yeah. mistaken. If I do the math real fast, 11 years ago. Hasn't wrestled in 11 years. We saw him at the Super Bowl in Miami. I still have the picture in my phone and I'm looking at it right now and I'm seeing this picture of Ric Flair and I'm like, how is that guy 3 years, 4 years ago going to get in the ring now, especially in a parking lot at a Leawood shopping center?
So he released a video of him practicing in a ring, and his daughter, who wrestles for WWE, released from her WWE Twitter account or Instagram, "What the hell, Dad? Sit yeah. down. Yeah. Stop. Yeah. What the hell, Dad?"
Yeah, see, you know you're at a spot in life that you're not supposed to be doing stuff when your kids are talking you out of it, because usually your kids are there to egg you on. Yeah, Dad, go do that. Jump out of that airplane. That'd be fun. Now you got your kids where they're old enough to realize, okay, Dad, you're putting yourself in a really bad position here, man. Like, is that ring even going to be padded? What kind
no,
of ring?
It's plywood and then a mat on top of it. That's yeah, what a wrestling
ring. Yeah, that's a wrestling ring. So he's yep. they're not even going to put
we
the padding
about
on
padding.
Top of it.
Feeling old and stuff that hurts. I mean
73 oh. Ric Flair going out there and slamming some dude,
like,
or getting
someone
slammed
just grabs
by a dude?
His arm to pull, like, there yeah. could be a problem.
Could be a situation.
How would you guys feel if you got slammed by a dude?
Oh, come on.
I mean, that would not be comfortable, right? This guy's got a clothesline, Ric Flair, I'm sure, right? But eventually he's going to win. He's going to
take
somebody
a folding
with a
chair over the head at 73.
I don't know. But Ric Flair's going to do that to somebody, right?
Right.
He's going to whack somebody with a chair.
He's
going to
cut himself open. He's going to wear the crimson mask
right.
the whole nine.
The whole nine yards, yeah. Yeah, we've seen this.
Some right. of these so, people need to be protected from themselves.
So he's
yeah,
touring.
It's time.
The answer
it's
is
time.
He's touring.
Yes, it's time, Rick. Let it go, buddy. Let it go.
This is it. Last time, though.
Yeah. I'm sure
until the next time.
There's never a last time. There's never, ever, ever. Elton John has been on his farewell tour for 5 years now.
Well, COVID.
Yeah, we can't use that as an excuse. Come on now. Let's go. Come on.
Well, he had new kids on the block the other night,
I
right?
know. They're still going, too. I mean, come on now. Like, Elton John's been on this farewell tour like 5 years pre-COVID.
Also, no one told us Rick Astley was on that bill, too.
I heard about that. Why didn't we know about this? I saw a tweet that somebody saw Rick Astley over the weekend. I'm like, why wasn't I aware?
I don't know.
I would have gone to the Rick Astley show.
Like,
where
new
was
kids,
he playing?
Rick? No, he was with New Kids, I
new
think.
New Kids,
he?
And
so where
Pepper.
Were
Salt and Pepper and Rick Astley,
so
yeah.
there was a concert at the Leawood Mall over and the weekend?
No, at T-Mobile.
Oh, this told out at T-Mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to our good friend, Shanee.
Shanee, shout out next time, Shanee. Rick Astley's coming to town. You better let him
know.
I'm in trouble, Shanee.
I think we had two tickets here, but they went really fast. That was it.
We had tickets?
In-house, yeah.
You have to check your company email.
Yeah,
you got to
check
your company
email.
Yeah,
yeah.
A little something to brighten our day.
So touring or not touring, the answer is usually touring.
Does this song always put you in immediate good mood when you hear it?
Time to start dancing.
Yeah, it is. And everybody's Rickrolling today.
I'm going to get an email from the boss later on.
That's okay. That means you have to check your email.
I don't think they've issued me one yet.
That's fine. It's better that way.
You know, I don't know why. He's got red hair, okay? So I think Mac Jones.
Oh, my God. It does, yeah. I think
Mac Jones looks a little like Rick Astley.
Yeah. And dance is like Rick Astley, too, yeah.
Like, I could see him really getting into that.
Yeah, if there's an NFL quarterback that really gets down to Rick Astley, it's definitely
Mac Jones. I don't
there's
know
no
why.
Question. Seems... No, because it's just Mac Jones is the dork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. Okay, cool.
With his mom pants.
Speaking of football, Jerry Jones says he would never sell his team, despite saying he'd get, well, I'd get $10 billion if I did.
He probably would right about now. I mean, look at the Broncos are going to go for six, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Upwards of six.
Let's say $6 million or $6 billion.
Five, six, yeah.
Their stadium is 20-plus years old.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, you know, bells and whistles about that stadium right now. We're like, oh, my God, this is a palace. Jerry Jones has Jerry World, which is a 365-day venue, so you can utilize that thing. You've got the Star Complex that he built down there. It's going to be the third largest metropolitan area, as the mayor told everybody last week, which is why they need another team. And it's the Dallas Cowboys. I would imagine $10 billion would probably be a bargain for somebody who was going to pay that kind of price for that football team. I think that's $10 billion does not sound out of the realm of possibilities for me at all. I don't know how you feel about it, but if Denver's going to get $6 billion, the Dallas Cowboys, that brand, that stadium, that complex, everything that goes along with it, how do you not put a price tag of $10 billion on it?
Sell, sell, sell.
Right. Sell.
That's what I don't operate in that, obviously, in that dollar world.
You don't?
But two, I could still enjoy the team without owning it.
You could.
Sure. You know what I mean? I could have a lot, maybe probably more enjoyment.
Oh, you're talking about if you had the means to buy the team. You
I'd be out. Like, the American dream is to develop your company from the idea, build it up, and then sell that bad boy.
I thought the American dream was to be a homeowner.
Yeah, sure.
That dream sucks.
Well, yeah, anymore it probably is, too.
Got to put stripes in my yard today.
But a money pit.
Like, does Jerry Jones look like he's having fun? Like,
yes.
They don't win.
Yeah, have you seen the, like,
I know that he's got the the medical stuff that makes his face look like he's having fun. But is he truly having fun? I guess I would just be in the camp of, like, I'll be a fan of that team. I'll be a super fan of that team or whatever team, but
you'd rather do that.
I'd rather not own it. Like, if someone wants to take this off my hands for $10 billion, gone.
You've always said that you never wanted to own a team.
No, I'd buy a lot of tickets.
Original flavor when it's coming out the side.
I'd buy great tickets. I'd go sit in nice seats. I'd bounce around from stadium to stadium. But I'd rather not own a team. I think that sounds terrible.
So you wouldn't want to be Jerry Jones?
No.
Coming for you, Neil Jones.
What about Neil Jones?
Sure.
You'd like to be him?
I would. Barnani. I would never want to own a team. And if I saw my price tag approaching $10 billion, like, where can I unload this thing now?
Yeah. Where do I sell?
I'm sure I could sign something in the fine print that says I still get a great seat. Okay, I'm out.
I like the original flavor when it's coming out the side.
Who doesn't? So, but if you had $10 billion and you could buy any team in the world, okay, which team would you buy?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
You would. Okay, that would be fun. What about the Savannah Bananas?
Yeah, they'd be fun too.
They'd be a fun team to own.
Yeah,
they would absolutely be a fun team to own. I would buy the
Maybe by the Generals so that they can try to compete.
Compete with
them?
Believe
they could kind of compete with the Globetrotters?
Don't the Globetrotters own the Generals too, though? Aren't they, like, basically the same thing? But I would buy the Washington Commanders. And you probably think, why would you buy that?
Well,
number one, there's no expectation.
Just keep
them
losing to the Giants.
Well, no, but you take over for Daniel Snyder. There's nowhere to go but up.
You're
after
a hero.
That. You're a conquering hero.
The day you walk in the door,
right? Everybody's throwing rose petals and bowing down and celebrating your arrival. So you're a hero from day one. There's low expectations. You don't have to live up to a whole heck of a lot there, right? You're going to be getting a new stadium here before long, and you're going to have two states and a district bidding on it. So you know you're going to get what you want, right? Virginia's going to want a piece of that action. D.C.'s going to want a piece of that action. Maryland's going to want a piece of that action. So you're going to have three different municipalities, entities bidding against each other to try to get you the best stadium. You could do something like Jerry World in our nation's capital. You also have the ability to change the name, too, because that name sucks. And that's a big reason why I would like to buy the Washington football team, because I'd change it back to the Washington football team. This whole Commanders thing is ass. This was a really bad rebrand by them. I don't think the Guardians has been any great shakes either, but I think the Commanders really, I mean, that's an XFL, USFL, AFL type of team name. So I would change the name. And then number five, it's the NFL. You can compete right away with a couple of moves, make a couple of right moves, and all of a sudden your team's back on track. I mean, Andy Reid took over a 2-14 turd bird here in Kansas City and went 11-5 the next year.
Some franchises have made it look very, very difficult, but you'd think you know.
Right. And it all starts with ownership. You gotta
do that.
You gotta be a good owner. And Washington does not have a good owner right now. So I would buy them just for the fact that you'd be a conquering hero and everybody would be excited that you're there and nobody would hate you.
And in terms of sport, I'd probably go there first though. Like baseball team is so hard.
Yeah.
We've seen that firsthand. Oh God, yes. I wouldn't buy a baseball team.
Like
no.
it's so hard.
Yeah.
Football, I feel like you could flip the switch.
Yep, fast.
NBA, you need creative accountants.
You do, but you could get them and flip the switch very fast.
You could probably flip the switch and just get 3 stars somehow. Yeah. You know, yeah, just a little math. Just a little math. Yeah. Might bite you in the end, but you get 3 stars.
You can flip it by then.
Although it might be tough getting the 3 stars anymore because the three star thing might not be working quite
especially
as well as everybody
Patrick
thought.
Beverly is part of your team.
Yeah. or Kyrie or Harden or any of the. You know, like, I don't know
Ben
what the
Simmons.
I don't know who the three would be, but you feel like you could kind of flip the switch a little bit faster there too.
What if you had Harden, Ben Simmons, and Kyrie on your team? You're not flipping anything other than flipping
tables.
The team.
Yeah, yeah, tables is it. I would definitely buy into football first though.
Yeah, football and hockey is kind of like baseball to me because of the minor leagues. You know, a little bit with the developmental process take too long. I want to see the result to me. I don't want to deal with the minor league stuff. So just give me the NFL right now. So I think Washington Commanders is the perfect team.
The problem is like. The problem is the buy-in is going continue to be ridiculous.
Nuts, yeah.
And then
by the time I get $10 billion to put together to buy the commodes, it's going to be about $20 billion. Yeah.
And then what?
And then I don't
right.
Know,
there's no. There's unfortunately the NFL. There's no buy low, sell high anymore.
No, you can sell now
if you want.
Back in 1925, when you first started covering the league, and Tim Mara purchased the Giants for $500.
Yeah, we wrote on a cocktail napkin.
That was a hell of a deal.
Like, because I'm in the camp of. Like the Raiders should sell now.
Oh God, he's gonna have to sell. Yeah,
well, he might. But I'm like, when's that value gonna be higher?
Right.
Like, you've gotten a franchise to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Like cash that bad boy in.
Pay for a haircut.
You know.
Yeah.
Get a good set of hair.
Stop going to wherever to get your haircut, man. Put a bowl over your head.
It was assign blame or take the blame day at the K, and you won't feel better about the pitching next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times. Blame it on the boogie. Don't
it's a good song.
Don't blame it on
name
the
singer, Josh.
Don't blame it on the
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Nailed it. Nice job. I was going to go Rick Astley. Ben Maller brought it up on his show. He goes, did you know Michael Jackson had children?
Yeah, Blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blanket. It was one of the kids. I don't remember the other one. Paris, I think. Paris
there
and Blanket.
There was a Paris, yes. Wasn't there a pillow, too? And a quilt.
So the Royals let go their hitting coach yesterday. Some people probably want the pitching coach gone as well.
Vern clearly does. We'll talk to him coming up in 8 minutes.
We will chat with Vern coming up.
At least it sounded like it on the pregame show yesterday.
Yeah. We'll ask Vern coming up at 8. But Dayton Moore spoke yesterday. He'll join us coming up at 8:30 as well. Dayton Moore spoke yesterday out at the K, and, you know, a lot of it was about the hitting yesterday, but then also it was like, what about the
pitching coach?
What about the pitching?
Well, they have the worst ERA in you know, the American League right
and,
now.
And unfortunately, the answer wasn't any better.
The pitching's on me. We rushed our young pitchers to the major leagues because I had such great confidence in Mike Matheny and Cal Eldred and Larry Carter's belief in them and their desire to have them. Knowing again that we're in uncharted waters, COVID, trying to develop guys, and I want to talk more about that once I finish this statement. But we wanted to develop. We knew we were going to have to develop them at the major league level. When you're trying to develop a lot of young pitchers at the major league level, it's a very difficult chore. It's a very difficult task. Not impossible, but it's a huge, huge challenge. But Chris Bubik never pitched in AAA before he pitched in the major leagues. Brady Singer never pitched in AAA before he pitched in the major leagues. I know they were college pitchers, but college baseball is not AA baseball. And there's never been a wider gap now between AAA and the major leagues. And so why did I say that put my stamp on and say, let's bring him to the major leagues. I believe in Mike Matheny. I believe in Cal Eldred, and I believe in the makeup of our pitchers. I believe in Chris Bubich's makeup. I believe in Brady Singer's makeup. Carlos Hernandez, as you recall, wasn't even at the alternate side initially. Those of you that follow our team on a day-in and day-out basis know he wasn't even a part of that alternate site. We took him to the alternate site. He pitched extremely well. We had, I don't know what it was, 30 or so games left here. He's on the roster. I saw him at the alternate site. I said, Mike, let's bring him up. Let's let him pitch some innings here. I'm not sure we're going to be in the playoffs. Let's develop him. He pitched really well. Last year he pitched very well. You know, he's having some struggles also. Clayton Kershaw was a 500 pitcher his first 3 years in the major league career. Maggs, Glavine, and Smoltz, Hall of Famers, they had their struggles. Adam Wainwright broke into the major leagues as a reliever and ended up being one of the best pitchers of an era. And so it takes time. I can tell you this, it's a highly committed group, and they believe in one another. You're seeing Daniel Lynch start to break through, start getting some consistency. If you're going to blame Cal Eldred for Bubich and Singer, you better give him praise for Daniel Lynch.
I don't disagree with that at all.
What?
If you're going to blame him for one, somebody does something good, you got to give him credit for that. I mean, we like to throw blame at everybody.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know.
Also, it's a short window of we don't know if Daniel Lynch hasn't have a body of work either.
He's pitching well right now. Let's enjoy it right
I'm
now.
Just saying, there's not a body, but there's not a body of work,
sure,
right?
Yeah, there's
a very minuscule, hey, it looks like he could be okay.
Well, there's not a body of work with any of them. Then if there's not a body of work with Daniel Lynch, then there's not a body of work.
I'm saying at the major league
Lynch.
Level, there's not much of a track record for any of
for
them.
For any of them, no. None of them. No, not at all. And look, I'll say this. Dayton is the boss everybody wants because he hires you to do your job. He goes to you for the information. You give him the information. You tell him how you're feeling.
And he takes the blame for it, right?
He said, look, he goes, it's on me. It is on me. And that's what you want. That's what makes a good leader as well. Not somebody who throws everybody else under the bus. He goes, look, I listened to my guys, Mike and Cal and Larry Carter, all gave glowing reports about these guys. I listened to them. I rushed them up to the big league level. But as you said, when that soundbite was playing, these are college pitchers. You kind of have to rush because the age starts.
It
to
does
creep
question
up with
the
you,
philosophy,
you know?
Though. If college pitching's not double A, and there's a big gap now between triple A and the majors,
right?
Well, then you can't draft any college pitchers,
right? Then you probably should go with high school pitchers because they're
you have more time to get them ready,
right? Right.
I think the tough part with the college pitchers now is that the clock's ticking. Like
almost
these guys,
immediately,
these guys are gonna be old before you know it. And if they're not seasoned and ready, and they're 28, then you're like, okay, well,
then what are you supposed to
do?
You know,
so
yeah.
it's a lot of second guessing. I understand, but you feel like now if these things are what's going on in baseball, then the philosophy probably has to change. I think we were under the impression that if we got college pitchers, that meant they were going to be here faster.
Sure, and I think that's fair because when you get a college pitcher that's 22 years old, it's a big age difference from 18. 18, you still have to learn how to wipe your own ass, right? And so by the time you do all of that.
Not in baseball.
But I'm talking just in life in general. Remember when you were 18, could you have pitched at the big league level? No, you weren't ready to do that, both mentally, physically, any of that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, you progress through. But after 3 or 4 years of college, now you're in your 20s, you have a little bit more feel of what you need to do. You're pitching against all those aluminum bats and you have to pitch differently.
The problem is you know it all too at that age.
You also know it all at that age. But also there's the fan aspect of it too. You draft a bunch of college pitchers. We're ready to see these guys right away. It's like it's not easy to navigate building a Major League Baseball team. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just speaking of what the reality is right now. The reality is, yeah, they rushed some of these guys up to the big league level. Maybe so. But also Dayton listened to his guys and said, you know, you're my eyes and ears. I'm going to trust you. And that's what you want in a boss. And at the end of the day, he had to make the final decision of whether or not to move them up. And fans want to see these guys. I'm sure ownership wants to see these guys. I'm sure the players want to see these guys. I'm sure there's a lot of voices saying, bring them up, bring them up, bring them up. And Dayton's like, all right, fine. Let's bring them up and see what they can do. And then maybe get a kind of a baseline for where they are as well. So if they don't have that immediate success up here at the big league level, then you can send them down and actually work on things that matter instead of just, you know, throwing strikes down there and look like they're doing something against triple A pitching or hitting.
You tweeted this out over the weekend. I found it interesting because it's a dynamic that comes up all the time at youth sports. We're finding this all over the place. can't get refs anymore.
No.
Can't get umpires anymore. It's a major shortage. And I know we've had it even at the high school level where one game we had one umpire, one game we had two umpires, mm-hmm. one basketball game I think we had one referee, and another nine we had two. It's a lot of it is the abuse.
Abuse. It's a parental abuse.
And so you had tweeted out a video of a Little League umpire who had enough.
He was done.
And forfeited a game because of parents. Mm-hmm.
You want to know what I just told him? If you don't,
we already fire, heard you.
I'm going to forfeit the team.
We're
so
done.
Shut up.
We're done.
The
game's over.
Okay. Oh, boy. Huh? Feel better?
I feel fine. You feel okay?
You have to
get out of the game for your kid. For what?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you want to argue balls and strikes in a Little League game?
Argue balls and strikes. He walked up like a man to you.
And this guy's a firefighter who protects you, man.
I don't know what that had to do
no
with anything.
No one cares that you're a firefighter. You chose that job, Karen.
Jumped in and said, this guy's a firefighter.
So?
Shouldn't throw him out of a game.
Who cares?
But good for that umpire.
Yeah.
Like, you're arguing balls and strikes in a Little League game.
You're being an idiot.
I warned you. We're going to forfeit the game. You feel better about it? Because I just stopped your kid's game. Because of you.
Yeah, you're the reason why. I learned it by watching you. Okay? You literally
He's
got
your guy, though, huh?
You literally got your kid's game canceled because you're arguing balls and strikes again, a Little League game, right? What kind of world in which are you living that you're arguing balls and strikes at a Little League game? Because at the end of the day, that game is meaningless, man. That doesn't matter. Nobody's getting a scholarship that day. Nobody's going to the major leagues that day. And when you behave like that as a parent, you're not doing your kid any favor. Because if that parent is out there, and I know who that parent is, and I'm a coach, do you think I want that kid on my team to know that I have to deal with that parent? Absolutely 100% not. And not only is it causing umpires and officials to not be part of the games and not have enough officials and umpires to call kids games anymore, it's probably hurting the children as well, because I am a coach right now. I don't want parents that are going to be like that around our team. And if we find parents that are like that and they got a player, we're not going to deal with the parent, because the parent acting like that is only going to hurt the kid and it's only going to hurt the team. And so I love this umpire. He said, screw this. He walked off. I hope the kids find a way to hold their parents accountable for that. And, you know, like we said, nobody cares that you're a fireman, man. That's your job. Hate to say it that way. Hey, oh, you're a fireman. Well, we better get back out here and play the game
yet,
because this guy's a fireman.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.